Sweet. I think this may actually be working. Let's do some wall, man. Hello. We're just gonna go through the wall and talk about it. Let's just stay, what's up, everybody? I'm gonna try and just really stick with the wall, like the songs, and then let's just talk about it as we go. All right, the first song on the wall is called "In the Flesh," and there's two "In the Fleshes." There's the first one, and then the second one at the end. So this goes, so high. So ya thought ya might like to go to the show. Confusion, that space cadet glow. Tell me, is something eluding you, sunshine? And is this not what you expected to see? If you wanna find out what's behind these cold eyes, you'll just have to claw your way through this disguise. So that sets up, oh thanks. That sets up the whole album, because the album, I think, has a dual meaning of authoritarianism as well as a relationship between a man and a woman. And so that's called "In the Flesh." You thought you might like to go to the show to feel the warm thrill of confusion, that space cadet glow. Tell me, is something eluding you? All right, so let's keep going. I want you to do a two-disc concept album. That'd be hilarious. All right, so then the next song, and by the way, my computer is absolute garbage. I'm going to get another computer today. That's why Patreon's so awesome. I wouldn't have been able to afford a new computer, but I'm getting a new a MacBook Pro with a really fast processor today, because I have to cut all these like promos for the special that I'm putting out myself, and this computer can barely do Safari. All right, so this is the next song. It's called "Thin Ice." Mama loves her baby. Oh, that's so high. Man, Roger Waters. Dude, build me a desktop one. That'd be phenomenal. Mama loves her baby, and daddy loves you too. And the sea may look warm to you, babe, and the sky may look blue. Ooh, ooh, babe. Ooh, baby blue. And then he has this other alternate voice. That sounds like crazy, but he's like, if you should go, this week gets so, oh yeah, DM me, definitely DM me. He goes, if you should go skating on the thin ice of modern life, dragging behind you the silent reproach of a million tear-stained eyes, well, don't be surprised when a crack in the ice appears under your feet. You step out of your depth and out of your mind, with your fear flowing out behind you as you claw through the ice. And that goes all big, right? And I think this is almost like that, like Freudian psychology type stuff, where it's like, there's a constant Oedipus theme in Pink Floyd's The Wall, and he also is obsessed with World War II. So mama loves her baby and daddy loves you too, right? And the sea may look warm to you, babe, and the sky may look blue. Ooh, babe, ooh, baby blue. There's something very depressing about that. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I do tree work with my brother. And the sea may look warm to you, babe, and the sky may look blue. That may is like, it means it isn't. if you should go skating on the thin ice of modern life. That's like saying like the animal is right underneath us all the time. Riff Raff, I want, if you do the whole album, they will crucify you when you hit the hole. Oh, all there in a quiz in the theater tonight. Get him up against the wall. Well, that's why there can't be censorship of words, because you can't show what a Nazi looks like unless you get to say, like, and that one looks Jewish, and that one's a coon. Like, you have to be able to play the part. All right, so anyway, the thin ice of modern life. That's like saying, like, it's so true. It's like right underneath this facade. Oh, hey, Overton Windex. Right underneath this facade, underneath it is just chaos. And dragging behind you the silent reproach of a million tear-stained eyes. I'm not really sure what that means, but it sounds awesome. Don't be surprised when a crack in the ice appears under your feet. That's like, you're almost like insanity is brewing. Like, you can't keep the mask on. It's like Patrick Bateman in American Psycho. You know, like, it's coming. You slip out of your depth and out of your mind with your fear flowing out behind you as you claw through the ice. And then there's that, like, crazy scene in the movie, at least, and then also on the album where it's like, and then another brick in the wall part one is, it's just, is this part one? I don't remember. It's like, oh, sounds like the victims of whatever travesty won't affect you. Sounds like the victims. I like that. You saved Owen from a MacBook. A lot of people keep saying MacBook, though. Why weren't you on the last Crowder episode? Because I visited them for a week, and now I'm back home. Crowder's the best. Wish I were in my office. I'd like to burn one while you do this. That would actually fit well. All in all, it's all just bricks in the wall. So people know this song. All in all, you were all just bricks in the wall. And so that's like saying, like, everyone in his life was just bricks isolating him. It's a pretty intense story. And then, we don't need no education. It's like, we don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teacher, leave them kids alone. Hey, teacher, leave them kids alone. All in all, you were all just bricks in the wall. All in all, you're all just bricks in the wall. Yeah, he had a total theme about the sadism of his upbringing. Oh, is that, I think that was part two. Because I think this was part one. Because his dad was a bomber in World War II and died. And that's what Final Cut's all about. Roger Waters had some real issues with World War II. So it goes, Daddy's flown across the oceans. Bang, 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 bang. It's like, leaving just a memory. A snapshot in the family album. Daddy, what else did you leave for me? Daddy, what else did you leave behind for me? And that's like, all in all, you were all just bricks in the wall. All in all, it was all just bricks in the wall. I mean, that's some powerful imagery, right? He had to fight Hitler for God. Well, I know. But just a little kid doesn't understand war. And that's the real tragedy of it. It's one of the most honorable things a man could ever do was leave his family and kill Hitler. But when you're a little kid, how do you know? Like, that doesn't make any sense to you. So that's why this imagery, Daddy's flown across the ocean. That's probably what his mom said. What's up, Eric? Yeah, hoorah. Dude, Eric's hilarious. He opens for me on the road. 3 tours of duty in Afghanistan. Dude's a legend. All right, so anyway, Daddy's flown across the ocean. You know that's like, of course not. Yeah. Daddy's flown across the ocean. You know that's like what his mom probably said to him. Like, Daddy's flown across the ocean, little Roger. But leaving just a memory, a snapshot in the family album. That's all they had. They didn't have thousands and thousands of hours of video on a phone. They had one picture in an album. It's like, Daddy, what else did you leave behind for me? Dad, what'd you leave behind for me? Because it's clear that his mom is very overbearing. And without his father, who died in World War II, he was left to the cruelty of public school. And that's when, because that's the first brick in the wall, his father dying, right? And then, we don't need no thought control, you know, bam, bam, bam. That's when he starts becoming like, because this is all a process through, like In the Flesh, the first song was just an intro to a, basically like a rock opera, right? And then now it starts early in his life. So the first thing that started setting this tone for his life was his father dying in World War II and him just being left with his mother. And then he's in British 1950s boarding school. Can you imagine that? We don't need no thoughts controlled, no dark sarcasm in the classroom. That's like the dark sarcasm is that teachers hated children. The sarcasm, the irony, was that their existence, like they were despised by the people that were supposed to form them. And then teacher, leave these kids alone. And this has been true in my life, is like when you see people taking advantage of children when you're growing up, you get really full of like piss and vinegar and action. But if you don't direct the action perfectly, a lot of times it can end up just whipping right back and biting you in the ass. All in all, it's just another break. We don't need no education. We don't need no thoughts controlled, no dark side teacher. Leave these kids on all. All right, so then what do we got next? And things start getting, like the music starts getting really sweet. What about pros and cons of hitchhiking? Tell that to college professors. Yeah, well, college professors are a little fucked up right now. What do we got here? Oh, this is the beginning. So it's like, this is like, and this is me too. Like my childhood was very much like this. Our school was really fucking sadistic. It's like, when we grew up and went to school, there were certain teachers who would hurt the children any way they could. And that shows all these like, the soundtrack of it's like, oh fuck. You know, it's like, by pouring their derision upon anything we did, exposing every weakness, however cleverly hidden by the kids. But in the town it was well known when they went home at night, their fat, psychopathic wives would thrash them within inches of their lives, right? That's the irony too. It's like a lot of times the sickest, power trippy assholes that would take advantage of weakness. That's what I hate in people. It's not like what you, there's so many things that I'm fine with that a lot of people aren't in people. The one thing I'm not is when people take advantage of weakness in other people. Like for just no purpose, not for like buying or selling a house. It's not like, oh, they're going for a divorce, we might be able to get a little bit less for the house. That's all right. That's business. But like just for the sake of it, the sadism of it, because you have such a shit life, you have to impose that on other people. So when we grew up and went to school, there were certain teachers who would hurt the children any way they could by pouring their derision upon anything we did, like dividing them, exposing every weakness, however cleverly hidden by the kids. And this is a dude with no dad. In the 50s in England, at least half the kids were had no dads. They're all fucking dead. Millions of people died, right? So they have these like they have these weaknesses that kept getting like exploited, right? But in the town, it was well known when they went home at night, their fat, psychopathic wives would thrash them within inches of their lives. Like behind it all, the teachers were just these weak, disgusting cucks, if you will, because their fat, crazy wives would just beat them and they just took it. And then this is a song somewhere in it. Did you see the frightened ones? I won't play all the songs because some of these are like, you have to hear the sound effects. Did you ever wonder why? This is kind of cool though. The beginning of this goes, "Look, mommy, there's an airplane up in the sky." It's fucking tragic. Because that's like, children don't understand war. Imagine like a bomber, like a blitz is coming in to take out London. And a little innocent child, like my son, little kid, he calls trucks boom, the boom. If he just looked up and he's like, "Airplane." But it's like, "Look, mommy, there's an airplane up in the sky." And that airplane is bringing death. And that's what all this music came out of. The big British invasion of the 60s, they were formed in the cauldron of post-World War II England. And Pink Floyd was one of the only bands that didn't hide it behind, "She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah." They were like, "Look, mommy, there's an airplane up in the sky." That's fucking terrifying. So did you see the frightened ones? Did you hear the falling bombs? Did you ever wonder why we had to run for shelter when the promise of a brave new world all fell beneath the clear blue sky? Yeah, the promise of a brave new world. That's a literary reference. Did you see the frightened ones? Did you hear the falling bombs? The flames are all long gone, but the pain lingers on. Goodbye, blue sky. Goodbye, blue sky. Goodbye. Right? Because that's the thing about war. That shit'll last for centuries if it's a bad enough war. All right, good times. I don't even know what you guys are talking about. I hope you're enjoying this and having fun with each other. I'm sure there's a couple people just going, "Fuck you, faggot." But we've just had to learn to not listen to those people because they're always going to be there. All right, but I can't interact too much because this is like, I got to kind of focus. Show me my... All right, what we got next? No trolls. Oh, good. Listening to you and thinking and feeling. Oh, awesome. I wanted the shit. Oh, thanks. I hated the book Brave New World. I've never read it. I read so many books. I've read 1984. I've read Animal Farm. I've never read Brave New World. Weird. And so this is him. The one thing about pain is it can create charisma. All right. So this in Pink Floyd, he's now Pink. In the movie, right? He's a young man and he's a rock star. It's, I'm
just a little boy.
I'm just a little boy, a stranger in this town. Where are all the good times? Who's gonna show this stranger around? And that's and it's like, ooh, I need a dirty woman. I need a dirty girl. Will some woman in this desert land make me feel like a real man? Take this rock and roll refugee. Ooh, baby, set me free. And then, ooh, I need a dirty woman. So he's partying. He's doing it. Young Lust. The name of that song is Young Lust. And it ends up, you know, it doesn't end well for him in this. And then his goodbye song. I don't remember what part of it this was. It's like, "Goodbye, cruel world, I'm leaving you today. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. Goodbye, all you people, there's nothing you can say to make me change my mind. Goodbye." Shaved eyebrows are distracting. I don't have shaved eyebrows. Pain gives a soul depth. Totally. So this isn't a suicide. I remember when I was a kid, people wanted to ban the wall because they said it was encouraging suicide, but it's not. That's not about killing yourself. That's about detaching. It's about not listening to anyone anymore. That's the wall. And we're experiencing the wall right now politically in America. I mean, let's be honest. It's a fact. You start, you put up a wall and you say, "No more. I'm done with you." Because it comes from vulnerability, right? So here's another song from the wall. It's called "Hey You." It's intense. It's like, hey you, out there in the cold, getting lonely, getting old. Can you feel me? Hey you. Standing in the aisles with itchy feet and fading smiles, can you feel me? Hey you, don't help them to bury the lie, the lie. Don't give in without a fight. Hey you, out there on your own, sitting naked by the phone, would you touch me? With your ear against the wall, waiting for someone to call out, would you touch me? Hey you, would you help me to carry the stone? Open your heart, I'm coming home. But it was only fantasy. Wall was too high, as you can see. No matter how he tried, he could not break free. And the worms ate into his brain. How isolation can do that to you, right? When you want to reach out for somebody, we've all felt this. We've all been there, you know? Like the beginning is like, this is the human emotion that everyone feels, the isolation. And then there's a shift. Where it's, hey you out there in the cold, getting lonely, getting old, can you feel me? Hey you standing in the aisles with itchy feet and fading smiles, can you feel me? Hey you, don't help them to bury the light. Don't give in without a fight. Okay, we've all felt that, right? And then hey you, out there on your own, sitting naked by the phone, would you touch me? Because a lot of lust and the craving of sex comes from a need to connect, right? And this, I think that he's so good at writing about it because it's like just very honest. It's like, hey you, with your ear against the wall, waiting for someone to call out, would you touch me? It's almost like Tinder. It's like, hey you, also alone, will you touch me? But it, and then it's, hey you, would you help me to carry the stone? Open your heart. Okay, so the line with that decrescendo always is like the most intense musically. So the first stanza, it's, hey you, don't you help them to bury the light. Okay, don't help them to bury the light. Intense, powerful line, right? And then the second stanza, it's a similar type vibe. Hey you, will you help me to carry the stone? It's basically saying like, don't let them bury me and will you help me shoulder the burden of existence, right? But then, but it was only fantasy. The wall was too high, as you can see. No matter how he tried, he could not break free. No matter how many women he was with or how many times he called out, it was him that wouldn't allow anything inside. And then the worms ate into his brain. That worm can be ideology. That can be all kinds of shit. And then he emerges. It's like the, it's like a lonely caterpillar becoming almost an evil butterfly. Where he's like, hey, and then he's screaming, hey you, out there on the road, always doing what you're told, can you help me? He's attacking now. You see, he's not saying out there, sitting naked by the phone, will you help me? Now he's saying out, hey you, always doing what you're told. He's scolding. He's becoming the teachers that destroyed him, right? It's a powerful cycle of abuse. So it's, hey you, out there on the road, always doing what you're told, can you help me? It's like, no. hey you, out there beyond the wall, breaking bottles in the hall, can you help me? Like, and then you like one last gasp at hope. Hey you, don't tell me there's no hope at all. Together we stand, and then divided we fall, right? And then that's just such a... And the tragedy of Pink Floyd is of the wall is that even with self-awareness, sometimes you can't fight it. And that's what that song was about. It's like, together we stand, divided we fall, but he still can't. All right, so then this is another song. This is a different tone. This is him in a manic depression, you know? And it's so funny, the technology is obviously dated. This is 30 years old, but the same principles apply. You can read Tolstoy's A Confession, and in the 1800s, shit still applies now as far as what science is and what it does. Listen to this, right? It's a beautiful song. It's called Nobody Home. I got a little black book with my poems in. Got a bag with a toothbrush and a comb in. When I'm a good dog, they sometimes throw me a bone. I got elastic bands keeping my shoes on. Got those swollen hand blues. I got 13 channels of shit on the TV to choose from. He's saying, like, I have all these channels and it's all shit. Think about that. That was a time when there were only 13 channels and no internet. And it still had that feeling of, like, I have all this shit and nothing of value. It's an existential depression that can't be filled with technology or sex or any of that shit. This is a rock star. He's like, there's heroin implications to this. You know, the swollen hand blues. You know, he's talking about elastic bands keeping his shoes on. All right, so that's got, I got electric light. And I got second sight. I've got amazing powers of observation. And that is how I know when I try to get through on the telephone to you. Be nobody home. One of the real burdens of the artistic mind is foresight. People think foresight, or the ability to roughly see the future, is a good thing. It's not, a lot of times. Like, he's like, I've got electric light and I've got second sight. I have amazing powers of observation, which he for sure does, this character and Roger Waters in real life. When to write music that makes people feel like the wall did. People spray painted Mother Should I Trust the Government on the Berlin Wall on the communist side in Germany. Like, that's the type of transcendence that you only get when you have amazing powers of observation. And that is how I know when I try to get through on the telephone to you, there'll be nobody home. And then I got the obligatory Hendrix poem, basically saying, like, that's the hipster at the time. Like, the obligatory, like, he's obligated to have a Hendrix hairstyle because everyone did at the time. I've got the obligatory Hendrix poem and the inevitable pinhole burns all down front of my favorite satin shirt because he keeps falling asleep while he's smoking. I've got nicotine stains on my fingers. I've got a silver spoon on a chain. Heroin. Silver spoon on a chain. That's what he uses to burn heroin. Got a grand piano to prop up my mortal remains. He's got a grand piano and all he sees it as is something to put his dead remains on. And then he's got, I've got wild staring eyes. And I've got a strong urge to fly. But I've got nowhere to fly to. That's one of my favorite lines in the history of songwriting. I've got wild staring eyes and I've got a strong urge to fly, but I've got nowhere to fly to. Isn't that something we've all felt? Ambition and no direction is miserable. Where it's like, I can do something great, but there's nowhere to go. And it's a universal emotion that everyone feels. I've got a strong urge to fly and I got nowhere to fly to. And then, ooh, babe, when I pick up the phone, there was still nobody home. I've got a pair of Gohan's boots and I've got fade-in roots. Right? Okay, so then where do we go from here? That is called, is there anybody? No, nobody home. And then we start getting into, I don't really understand what this song's about. I'm about to do. Sorry, my piano is extremely slow. Yeah, Vera. I can probably do it from memory, but I like to look up the lyrics. Hang on. Does anybody here remember Vera Lynn? Remember how she said that we will meet again some... Oh, I'm definitely going to get to Comfortably Numb. I don't know. After that, I probably have to bounce. I do have to get a computer. Definitely make me one too, though. But I've been slacking hard on Why Didn't They Laugh? Because my computer's too slow to edit stand-up. Like, it's like, usually I play clips. Like, there's the greatest clip right now that I want to do a show about. But it's like, the wheel spins when I use the, like, Safari. All right, so if anyone knows, Vera Lynn was a famous female singer in Britain. Oh, awesome. This is when shit starts getting World War II, right? So it's, you can hang out, love. It's all good. This is, I'm almost done. He's fine. Does anybody here remember Vera Lynn? Remember how she said that we will meet again some sunny day? Vera, Vera, what has become of you? And then, that's the wrong chord. Does anybody else in here feel the way I do? And so, that's about being alienated by pop stuff. He's basically saying, Vera Lynn is saying, you know, probably, I'm not sure. I'll definitely look this up later. Hang on, We'll Meet Again was one of her most popular songs. Right. And so, when someone promises you something and you don't, he never got to meet his father again, you know? And so then you hear the war drums in the background and it's like, Vera, Vera, what has become of you? Does anyone else in here feel the way I do? That's basically saying like, does anyone else feel like this is fucking bullshit? And then we start getting in, bring the boys back home. We start getting into the bitterness of it. And it's not, he's not pushing anything. These are the human emotions that went through this. So he's not saying whether you should believe or not believe in war. The whole thing is all the emotions that are behind dealing with what it feels like to be, you know, in the early 1960s in England, whose dad had died. So then it's like, and then this is this big, like, orchestral thing where it's like, bring the boys back home. It's like, bring the boys back home. You know, it's this big pageantry. It's like, don't leave the children on their own. And then big, bring the boys back home. And that just rings. And then, this is when shit starts getting sick. And then, of course, like, we gotta do Comfortably Numb. So he medicates that. So the character in the movie, and you can tell by just a little pinprick, the lyric "just a little pinprick" is blatantly about heroin, right? So he's a rock star who's now so self-medicated, and I've lost 3 friends this year to heroin, so this is very, very accurate. When you feel like the pageantry from right before that, Vera Lynn, bring the boys back home, right? He's screaming. And there's no way out, you know? Whether it's the women from the young lust, the melancholy, you know, the ambition, you know, and finally he gets to, hello, 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 is there any... This is sung from the doctor's point of view. To get medical treatment in order to make it through. Oh yeah, of course, this is very real. Hello, 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 oh, thanks, bud. Is there anybody in there? Just not if you can hear me. Is there anyone at home? Well, you know, checking the pupils. Relax, I need some information first. Just the basic facts. Can you show me where it hurts? And then back to him. There is no pain, you are receding. A distant shift. dip smoke on the horizon. You are only coming through in waves. Your lips move, but I can't hear what you're saying. When I was a child, I had a fever. My hands felt just like two balloons. Now I've got that feeling once again. I can't explain, you would not understand. This is not how I am.
Oh, thanks, man. Okay, so think about that. I have weird memories from when I was a kid before I knew English. Like emotions that I couldn't put words into. And they're these massive feelings that I only feel when I'm very, very, very sick. And it's like when you're like deliriously sick is when you get these like flashes of a different life. You know, and that like, listen to these lyrics. When I was a child out of fever, my hands felt just like two balloons. Now I've got that feeling once again. I can't explain. You would not understand. The honesty of a lyricist saying, I can't explain. You would not understand. It's like there's no words to emotions that you felt before you knew words. This is not how I am. I have become comfortably numb. I've become comfortably numb. And now we're back to the doctor.
Okay, okay, okay. Just a little pinprick, bling. There'll be no more, but you may feel a little sick. Can you stand up? I do believe it's working good. That'll keep you going for the show. Come on, it's time to go. I cannot put my finger on it now. The child has grown, the dream is gone. I have become comfortably numb.
So, okay, this is something a little personal. I'll let you guys in. I think that most highly, highly creative people have a sliver of schizophrenia. And this is, never told this to anybody except my wife. And we actually bonded on this. She actually had a similar thing where there was, when we were both younger, we used to see, occasionally we'd see like someone out of the corner of our eye. And we'd look and there'd be nothing there. And it was like really, really scary. And the medical, you know, term would be that's a symptom of schizophrenia. Obviously it's way, way, way crazier than like full blown schizophrenics. But in certain cultures, that's actually they would be seen as like medicine men or some shit. Like it's almost like a window into another world. And I think that if people are really honest with themselves, art comes from very, very, a little bit of mental illness. They would call it mental illness, but it's like an agitation that makes pearls, you know, and an oyster, a little piece of sand is what agitates the oyster into creating something beautiful. And I relate a lot to that. When I was a child, I had a fleeting glimpse out of the corner of my eye. I turned to look, but it was gone. I cannot put my finger on it now. The child has grown. The dream is gone. When I was a kid, I used to see auras, and I don't even remember what I could see, but I would tell my mom that I could see colors around people. And nowadays, that's one thing, reason why I'm so adamant against messing with kids and having all these decisions made when they're so young. You know, this trans shit is obviously psychotic, and then way too much medication, all this. Because that's, it's almost a form of schizophrenia that I had, or still have, I don't know. But I remember seeing feelings. And that has also made me incredibly empathetic to other people's emotions, which is big for comedy. I can feel what people feel so I can make them laugh, but it's also deadly. You know, it's truly terrifying sometimes to live in it. And so I'm glad that a lot of it has faded for me personally. And then The Show Must Go On is the next song. Well, I read a book once called Born on a Blue Day. Because a lot of people with like intense autism or Asperger syndrome can, their brain is wired slightly different where they like think in colors and shit like that. Mine isn't that extreme, but there's an, like there is a little bit, you're highly tuned to others' emotions. Yeah, which is, but it can hurt, you know, there's pain in that, but also, but you have to be, you have to grow up in that sense of being like, there's a duty to not overfeel and then overreact. That's one reason why I really have this hatred for this PC social justice warrior culture, because they don't even feel half the shit I feel. And they overreact so badly that usually they end up getting so many more people hurt because they don't understand what they're talking about. And so I passionately am against that because I know the feeling of overfeeling and then wanting to let your emotions dictate government policy or getting rid of the word nigger, right? When you feel what that word does to certain people, you want it to make it go away, right? But that's the worst thing you can do. And it's like being a grown up and being a responsible person is to see through that. And I, like, emotions to me have been so loud, you know? All right, what do we got here? Bring the boys who come to me down. The show must go on. All right, the show must go on. Let's see this, baby. The show must go on. We're going to finish the wall, and then we're going to go get a computer. The show. When I was in school, I used to write the wall on walls in class. This, like, I used to listen to this entire tape almost every night when I take a bath. Because it, I felt like it understood things that no one else did. Because it was like what I felt going through school. Empty spaces where I don't even know, abandoned places. I guess we knew the score on and on. Does anyone know what we're looking for? The show must go on. The show must go on. Inside my heart. I don't remember this one. I don't think this is on the album. Yeah, I don't think that one's on the album. The show must... Oh, maybe it's like one of those big theatrical ones that I don't know what they were saying. Okay, so this is the next In the Flesh. Okay. Remember the first In the Flesh, which... So ya thought ya might like to go to the show to feel the warmth and our confusion that space cadet glow. Tell me, is something eluding you, sunshine? Right, okay. So that one was the intro. This is when shit starts getting dark. Right? Because the thing about shutting yourself off, being an over empath, shutting yourself off, not letting anyone close to you, becoming, you know, the worms ate into your brain, you know, and now you're battling a slight bit of schizophrenia, drug addiction, all that stuff, right? That's what sucks you into, that's what sucks you into authoritarianism, because that is what makes your ego go boom. And so that's when he starts getting into Nazism. That's why in the movie, it's all the garb, right? Because when you shut your, when you're brilliant, there's a lot of very brilliant, very evil people, right? And he becomes evil here. And that's one reason why I love The Wall, because he wasn't evil a few songs ago. The line between good and evil goes straight down the middle of a human being's heart. That you can be good and you can be evil depending on how you live your life and watching for these things. That there is no just good guy, bad guy, you know? So, I guess water should... Well, who knows? we'll talk about it by the end. Okay, so... So, yeah, thought ya might like to go to the show. And he's like, he's now a dictator, right? It's like, doom, doom. And he's got all his guys, you know, boom, you know? And it's so, it's all pageantry. To feel the warm thrill, to feel the warm thrill of confusion, that space cadet glow. Tell me, is something eluding you such? Oh, that's still the beginning one. I gotta hear, it's the second one. How do I find the second one? It gets so much crazier. Oh, verse two, here we go. Where is it? Here we go. Yeah, so this is, he's now referring to himself in the third person, right? Watch this. His name is Pink.
So ya thought ya might like to go to the show.
An arrogance, pomp and arrogance right now.
To feel the warm thrill of confusion, that space cadet glow.
And the actor's playing it with so much spite and condescension. Because what fascism breeds is disgust. It's not hate, it's disgust, which is even more powerful, right? It's like, you're disgusting. That's why when people call me human garbage, I know exactly where they're coming from. It's less offensive to call someone evil than it is to call them garbage or a roach, cockroach, vermin, right? And so then it's,
I've got some bad news for you, sunshine. Pink isn't well.
That's himself. He's saying Pink isn't well.
He stayed back in the hotel and they
sent us along as a surrogate band. We're gonna find out where you fans really stand. So he's now taken the audience. I mean, this could be Hitler. This could be an element. But there's elements of it all over the place. And I do not want to break that rule and compare anyone modern to Hitler. But there's elements of it where, just look at Kimmel. He has a giant comedy audience. And he goes, all right, well, Jimmy doesn't feel well tonight. How much do you really love me? Now let's fucking really talk policy. Right? And that's a trick, right? This guy's a rock star, young lost, right?
I am just a little boy, a stranger in this town. It's like, ooh, I need a dirty woman, right?
And then he becomes, and so all these people become fans of his for that. And then he feels this. He goes, Pink isn't here anymore. Let's see how much you really love me. And then he goes,
are there any queers in the theater tonight? Get him up against the wall.
And then everyone else goes, against the, and he goes,
and there's one in the spotlight. He don't look right to me. Get him up against the wall. Against the, and that one looks Jewish, and that one's a coon. Who let all this riffraff into the room? There's one smoking a joint, and another with spots. If I had my way, I'd have all of you shot,
right? So look at that. So the ego comes when you isolate yourself, and then you say, are there any queers in the theater tonight? Get him up against the wall. There's one in the spotlight. He don't look right to me. Get him up against this. He keeps going. This is what I like about this. Because it's not just going after one type of bigotry. This is all types. This is communist. This is Nazi. This is all sorts of shit. Just classic dictator. There's one in the spotlight. He don't look right to me. Could the word deplorable fit? Of course, that's why that word popped. When Hillary Clinton said half the country's a basket of deplorables, you felt disgust. Her nose wrinkled, which is a microaggression, and you knew there's one in the spotlight, he don't look right to me, get him up against the wall, right? And so, of course, you're gonna use marginalized groups historically, gay people, Jews, right? Once people start getting power, you go after people that are marginalized. And for most of human history, gay, Jew, all that shit. Shifting a little bit though, there's been a big power shift. So that's why you have to watch out for intention. When someone says redneck trash, trailer trash, deplorable shit, right? That's this. That isn't standing up for a marginalized group. No, that is not that. That is this shit. And you hear it and you feel it and you know it. And who had all this room into the room? There's one smoking a joint and another with spots. That's almost like the absurdity of Dr. Seuss. There's a star-bellied sneech, right? Okay, and then you have, okay, this shit gets so intense. Okay, we're almost done, but I'm so glad you guys are joining me on this. I can see the number of people have just been going up, which is a great sign. The group changed the tactics. And exactly. Wait a sec. Owen can't possibly like this song. I missed it. All right. I'm going to stay on focus or else I'll just get distracted. Oh, thanks, bud. All right. Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for sharing it. All right. This is called Run Like Hell. It's like run, 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 run. And that's all crowd. Because rock stars, comedians, musicians, we know the power of mass thought. I can make, like in the special that's coming out, the Feed the Bear, it's coming out November 1st. And a lot of you guys that have seen me live, I can make the crowd chant and sing anything, right? And there's a power in that. And that's why I get so angry at celebrities using that shit to hurt people. Because that's what this is. This is when you start feeling it. These guys have performed in front of 500,000 people when the wall came down. 500,000 people. Run! Right? And this is, it's a run. That's why I love the wall. Because he's not manipulating people with this. He's doing a fair analysis of the human emotional existence that gets you in and out of these crazy fucking states. All right, like the loneliness, the missing your dad, being abused as a kid. Like it's not like blaming it. It's saying this is where this shit goes. If you don't think about it, if you don't reflect on it, right? So run, 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 run. And then it gets almost euphoric. Run, run. Run, and everybody's like they're gleefully chasing people like bunny rabbits, like human beings. And that's, you better make your face up in your favorite disguise, with your button down lips and your roller blind eyes, with your empty smile and your hungry heart. Feel the life bile rising from your guilty past, with your nerves in shatters when the cockshells shatter and the hammers batter down your door. You better run, because it's the hammers, right? I really respect that they didn't use Nazi imagery, because it's too easy to go good guy, bad guy with Nazis, because they were just clearly bad and we won. That's why Wonder Woman, I like the movie, but I now realize why World War I isn't used as often in archetype movies. Because you kind of don't hate the Germans in it. World War I was a war without a clear bad guy. Like the Kaiser, it was about militarization, nationalism, self-determination, all these ancient ties from Otto von Bismarck's era, where like if you march through Denmark, or if you march through Belgium to get to France, England has to fight you because Belgium is a neutral country. If you do this, you know, if you attack the Balkans, Russia has to come in because it's a cold water, or it's a warm water port. All that. Like, you're not looking at Germans saying like, oh, kill those guys, because World War I doesn't have Nazis. That's why World War II is such an easier cinematic thing, because you know what they did. You know, the genocidal and disgust element versus World War I, who's to say that the Germans and the British, who's to say who's right or wrong? I can't say who's right or wrong in that. That was a tragic war. And then what was truly wrong was the armistice after, you know, on 11-11-1918, at 11-11, they signed the Treaty of Versailles in a boxcar, and it punished Germany so bad that created World War II. It made them take full responsibility for the war, full responsibility, which is bullshit, and they had to dismantle their entire army and pay reparations to other countries that were just as wrong as they were, right? And so that was the wall, right? That was like the worms ate into his brain. Like you have your Hitler and your Goering and all these main guys that Hitler was with, they all fought in the first war. They were all vets. They were all products. It's like Bane. It's like, you think you know darkness? I was born in the shadows. These men were forged in trench warfare with poison gas. You think they give a fuck about how you view them? They will exterminate you. And that all came because there was no peace after World War I. And that's one thing that Hitler did, is that very boxcar is where he made the French surrender. And then he fucking destroyed the boxcar, because a lot of this was very symbolic of them being fucked over after World War I. And that's what, why World War II, there was such bigger evil. Because those men were now evil, right? Hitler and Goering and Goebbels and all these guys, but they were forged in just hatred. That they had in 1919, in 1920, in 1921, you would have had their side. You would have said, oh, these guys are all, half of them are legless vets. They lost all their men to this tragic war, and there was no ability to heal. So what happens with a broken bone that isn't set properly, it heals fucked up. You get a gimp, you get a gimp, right? Hey, buddy, almost done. This is fun.
We're coming back inside.
Oh, cool. Because if it isn't healed properly, you get evil, and that's what's so great about the wall, is because it shows his loneliness is what led to the hammers, where it's like, Dad has flown across the ocean. Dad, what did you leave behind for me? And then when we grew up and went to school, there were certain teachers that would hurt the children any way they could, right? And then you have the thin ice, you know, it's not that he's the victim. That's what's so great about this. Like in Young Lust, he says, ooh, I need a dirty woman. I need a dirty girl. He's not saying his whole life has just been him as a victim. He's saying, look at how you can slowly get the worms eating into your brain. All right, so now, run like hell. And murder isn't evil. It's bad. I'm glad it's a commandment. I'm glad it's a law. But murder to defend what you love is not evil. Murder to take joy is evil. It's true evil, right? And the real evil of this song is the glee that they take. You better make your face up in your favorite disguise with your button-down lips and your robe, you know, and then it's and the hammer's battered down your door, you better run it. And it's like, it's they're smiling while they're doing it. Right, exactly. Right. If someone comes and breaks into your house and you kill them, that is not an evil act. But like when you seek to kill, when you take joy in it, when you don't feel the ramifications of it, you know, and that's what really opened my eyes to what the soul crushing effects that a lot of abortion legislation's done is when you see Lena Dunham say she wishes she had had an abortion. You think you don't understand the ramifications of this. There's almost a glee in it, and you're like, is he okay?
Yeah.
Okay. He's all right. He's with my wife. All right. This one. We're almost done here. Okay. All right. I heard that, Tommy. Oh yeah, it's hilarious. Jerking off punks under a bridge. Yeah, he's good though. We gotta Walter down, ladies and gentlemen. All right, you can't reach me now. Ooh, no matter how you try, goodbye, cruel, it's over, walk on by. And then, this is amazing. This song, I haven't thought about this song in so long. Now he's back to being one of the reasons vets have such a hard time sometimes is once you've accepted your own death, you're truly free, but you're also gonna face horror forever. You know, and that's, listen to these lyrics. Sitting in a bunker, here behind my wall, waiting for the worms to come. And that's like, in perfect isolation, here behind my wall, and then waiting for the worms to come. I can't hear it in my head right now. That's the natural response to trauma sometimes, is you go, I'm already dead, and then you can function. My buddy Eric, who was just on here earlier, I've interviewed him for Why Don't They Laugh, great comic, war hero. He said that there's you know, people talk about fight or flight, there's also just freezing. Like people will just freeze on the battlefield where you can't move. And so sometimes like the shit that you have to go through to survive in such a psychotic environment stays with you. So like if you can feel peace as you're being shot at, which is a lot of what these people end up developing, or just feel nothing, that changes everything. For when you go back to peace, you now feel war. So it's like imperfect, sitting in a bunker. You know, when you can't feel that much fear, when your brain literally shifts off, you then feel the freedom of psychosis. It's insane. Okay, so like for me, that happened when someone I was very close to was assaulted, and I felt completely fine wanting to kill the person. And it was like a feeling of like freedom that scared me, because I was like, there's no conscience in it. All right, so, and then the waiting, and then this guy comes on, waiting to cut out the dead wood, waiting to clean up the city, waiting, waiting to follow the worms, waiting to put on a black shirt, waiting to weed out the weaklings, waiting to smash in their windows and kick in their doors, waiting for the final solution to strengthen the strain. That's very Hitlerian. That's a Hitler reference. Waiting to follow the worms, waiting to turn on the showers and fire the ovens, waiting for the queers and the coons and the reds and the Jews, waiting to follow the worms. That's wood, would you like to see Britannia rule again, my friend? All you have to do is follow the worms. Waiting, you know. And so, yeah, would you like to send all our colored cousins home again, my friend? All you need to do is follow the worms. Yeah, it's like one thing that happens, because Jordan Peterson talks a lot about the dual, the chaos and order, where you need order, but too much order makes you kill everything, and too much chaos makes you kill everything. When you become too leftist, like Marxism and communism only work if everyone's dead. So like there's a scrubbing of human nature that happens with leftism. And then too much order, what happens is anything that isn't ideal gets killed. You know, when you say to kill the weaklings, like you may have killed, you know, like someone who... Stephen Hawking's would have been killed by this guy, you know, and he wouldn't have been able to do all that black hole shit. Like, you have to, there has to be a protection of the weak in society, but if you overdo that and you make everyone the same, then you kill everyone too. So that's that chaos and order balance, you know, when you see that waiting to burn out the dead wood and strengthen the strain. Because when you go too far, everyone dies. And then stop. What stop? Oh, then the trial, and then outside the wall, and then we'll call it. All right. Oh, I forgot to do Mother. One of the best songs on the whole album is called Mother, and this is in the middle. Just go back. It goes, Mother, do you think they'll drop the bomb? The song's in a very neutral place. Mother, do you think they'll like this song? Mother, do you think they'll try to break my balls? Ooh, Mother, should I build a wall? Mother, should I run for president? Mother, should I trust the government? Mother, will they put me in the firing line? Just a waste of time. And then this goes to the Oedipus. Hush now, baby, baby, don't you cry. Mama's gonna make all of your nightmares come true. Mama's gonna put all of her fears into you. Mama's gonna keep you right here under her wing.
She won't let you fly, but she might let you sing. Mama's gonna keep baby cozy and warm. Ooh, ah, baby.
You know, so that's Oedipus. The Oedipal mother overloves the child till it becomes not love. When you don't let your child grow out of fear, the child, you devour the child, eating your own child, right? Oedipus, yeah. I already played Comfortably Numb. You can go back and watch it though. So that's a great song. It's just, and then mother, do you think she'll break my heart? Mother, do you think she's good enough for me? Mother, do you think she's dangerous? Mother, will she tear your little boy apart? Mother, will she break my heart? It's so pure. It's like, all right. So, all right. Let me see here. It's just so raw. Like, mother, will she hurt me? It's just like, Jesus. All right. So, the trial. Only two more songs left, and then I got to go. Yeah, but Oedipus got laid with his mom. Yeah, it's pretty legendary. I mean, if Oedipus had a stepmom instead of a mom, it would have been way cooler. But I think it was his real mom. His mother sung deep and raw. Oh, yeah. What do we got here? I need to know. I don't know. I don't know anything about this song. I have to, like, look this one up. I mean, I know it, but I don't know. The Trial. Well, yeah, I do have to buy my Mac, but I kind of have to finish. I mean, if you do the wall, you kind of got to finish. My mother was hot, but Dad was not ready to die. It's hilarious. What about Danny's song? Will you blame Serbia? I don't know what you guys are talking about. I think you guys have gone off the rails a little bit here. Good morning, the worm. Good morning, the worm. All right. So he then wants to get out. He wants to destroy his wall because it's just waiting to burn out the deadwood and reach in the doors, waiting for the final solution to strengthen this. Like, it's to the point of madness. And it's just, stop! You know, that glimmer is still left. And then the thing about this is very biblical. Where now there's atonement. Where it's like, you can't just have those... You have to deal with everything that made you what you are. So now the trial is him against this entire life that brought him to the point where he was kicking in doors. You know, killing people that he felt was weak. All right. And so then there's advocates. There's lawyers, or in England they're called barristers. So it's was caught. Yeah, yeah. Good morning, Worm, Your Honor. Worm is the judge. And the worm represents decay. We're eating decay. The worm represents where we all go, where it's like, at some point, the worms will eat you. All right. Good morning, Worm, Your Honor. The crown will plainly show the prisoner who now stands before you was caught red-handed showing feelings. Showing feelings of an almost human nature. This will not do. Call the schoolmaster. And then this guy comes in. I've always said he'd come to no good in the end, Your Honor. If they'd let... Let me have my way, I could have... I don't know this. Flayed him to shape. I've never played this before. But my hands were tied. The bleeding, the bleeding heart's gonna let him get away with murder. Let me hammer him today. And then his chorus is crazy. No. Crazy toys in the attic. I am crazy. Truly gone fishing. I'm sure. They must have taken my marbles away. So intense. Crazy boys in the attic. He is crazy. Because Roger Waters is completely fucking crazy in real life. But this was a moment that he could tell all of us about it. All right, and then they bring in the mother. You little shit, you're in it now. I hope they throw away the key. You should have talked to me more often than you did, but no. You know, the mother playing the victim. And then, You had to go your own way. Have you broken any homes up lately? Just 5 minutes, worm, your honor. Him and me alone. That almost sounds pedophilic, doesn't it? Just 5 minutes, him and me alone. It's very creepy. And then, come to mother, baby, let me hold you in my arms. I never wanted him to get in any trouble. Why'd he ever have to leave me, worm, your honor? Let me take him home. Then crazy, and it's crazy. Over the rainbow, I am crazy. Bars in the window. There must have been a door there in the wall when I came in and crazy. And then the worm stands up. Yeah, if you get completely consumed by whether it's obsession or schizophrenia or depression, he's basically saying there must have been a door to get me in this place that I can leave. It's like being stuck under ice, you know? And then he goes, the evidence before the court is incontrovertible. There's no need for the jury to retire. This is a terrifying guy. In all my years of judging, I have never heard before of someone more deserving of the full penalty of law. The way you made them suffer, your exquisite wife and mother, fills me with the urge to defecate. Since, my friend, you have revealed your deepest fear, I am sentencing you to be exposed before your peers. Tear down the wall. Tear down the wall. Tear down the wall. Right, so it's back to your biggest weakness and your biggest fear is your redemption. He's saying, we're going to hammer you. You just made me cry a little. I felt that anger from my sadness. Oh, we all have. You're not alone. Trust me. Why do you think sometimes I spiral? Because I know what it does to me. And then I see others that have no, they don't give a shit. And they just torch people because of this shit. And they inflict on people. All right. So look at that. Like the judge, there's one last song. It's very short. It's the perfect ending. Not this one, right after. So the judge is—it's almost like that old kid story about don't throw me in the briar patch, don't throw me in the briar patch, don't throw me in the briar patch, where it's like you can trick. It's like sometimes what you I got outside the wall. What someone thinks is going to be punishment actually sets you free, which is hilarious. Like they think they're punishing you and you're so terrified of it, but it's the only way you get out. Brer Rabbit, exactly. But see, I don't think he was conscious of it like Brer Rabbit was, but some people definitely are. I wish I knew more people like you. Well, you know me, you don't need anyone else. Let's build a wall. You've been through worse, the punishment is moot. Right, totally. I just can't figure out how much of a great explanation World War II led. Oh, thank you. Well, World War II is like my specialty. I studied it nonstop for years and years and years and years because I couldn't understand it. When I don't understand it, something, I become so obsessed it's like laughable. I didn't understand how people could do that to each other. So to understand World War II, you have to understand World War I. To understand World War I, you have to understand, you know, so much more shit. And it just keeps unraveling until you finally kind of get it out. I mean, my computer won't even type. It's like hilarious. I can't even look this up. I don't worry about judgment, sir. When you, German, Prussian. Yeah, totally. But same with England. England had the British Empire at the beginning of World War I. They were really psychotic humans too. Outside the wall. Roger turning to socialism. Yeah, that's the thing. It's the same shit. The racial element is what made Nazism feel worse, but so it's all the same shit. And people can't be tricked by that. Whether or not you isolate people based on race, religion, whatever, or economic status, accomplishment, ideas, all that shit, money. It's the same fucking problem. Because Nazism is socialism with a racial twist. And that's what really makes people feel the sense of disgust, because they're trying to scrub a gene from the earth. But socialists do the same shit with human motivations. Like, they're trying to get rid of greed, or they're trying to get rid of sloth, or all the sins of man outside the wall. They're trying to make it like we don't exist. Right. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, but socialism wants to do... Oh, this is very frustrating. Overcompensating for Nazis with socialists. Well, the Nazis were socialists. They just had a... Well, that's one of the reasons Stalin won. Is because racism makes you weak. Oddly, terrifyingly, communism is effective in war because they got so many slaves. Hitler killed his slaves, which is weak. That's why Stalin... Like, the amount of shit they produced because they enslaved everyone. Like, everyone was a slave. Everyone's a slave in communism. Just look up... my buddy Michael Malice wrote a book called Dear Reader about North Korea. Hitler actually was filled with so much hate, which was... I find hate is less evil than indifferent... The indifferent, calculated... destruction of communism, where, like, Stalin wasn't even motivated by hate. He was just pure evil. Like, Hitler was motivated by the revenge of World War I that manifested into this terrifying worldview. Stalin just was a numbers guy, which I think is way worse. They're both 10 out of 10 as far as evil, but Stalin has an asterisk where it says he didn't even care. The indifference of it is so much crazier. Like, look at any terror movie. There's nothing like this, like the Javier Bardem and No Country for Old Men, where that killer was so scary because he was just using a cow, the thing you kill cows with. And Stalin was a psycho, totally. Yeah, right. Well, see, that's his weakness, was trusting. He had no ability of figuring out who was truly against him because he thought everyone was against him. All right, so I don't remember this. All alone or in tutus, the ones who really love you walk up and down outside the wall. And in the movie, it's a little kid is playing with... I can't remember. There's an imagery of it. It was such a powerful image. It was a child playing with something in war. It was like a broken bomb or something. And just... Was just playing with it like it was nothing. It's kind of like... Like when you don't know what something is. All right, sorry. Some hand in hand. Some gathered together. In bands, the bleeding hearts and their artists make their stand. And when they've given you their all, some stagger and some fall. After all, it's not easy banging your heart against some mad bugger's wall. It ends almost on a joke. It ends on a joke. He's basically apologizing to everyone who's ever loved him. He's saying, the ones who really loved you walk up and down outside the wall, some hand in hand, some gathered together in bands. The bleeding hearts and the artists make their stand. He goes, and when they've given you their all, some stagger and fall. After all, it's not easy banging your head or your heart against some mad bugger's wall. He's basically saying, we all know I'm fucking crazy. And thanks for sticking with me. Done. All right. Well, that's going to do it. Do you cite sing? Yeah. Well, he doesn't sing this part. He talks it. He goes, some stagger and fall. After all, it's not easy banging your heart against some mad bugger's wall. Oh, and you killed it on the tambourine, the Carpenters. Oh, thanks. All right. Well, you guys are a blast. I appreciate you. If you feel like this is interesting and you want to share it, go for it. Peace out. Yeah, you're awesome. I've really, as my wife has pointed out, I've acquired some very intelligent fans/collaborators. All right. So soon, my hour special is coming out soon. Feed the Bear. I will be notifying you guys a lot. I'm going to go get a computer so I can cut up a bunch of promos and shit for it. All right. Much love, you guys. Peace.